What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. I've got a lot to cover today on this episode. Mainly, the main topic is going to be removing the stress and overwhelm with tracking macros. This was inspired by a coach colleague that reached out to me and said that she was struggling with a client who was having a ton of mental resistance around tracking and was trying to find some ways of helping her just reframe and become more, I don't know, just a little bit more receptive to the idea of tracking. And it's a great conversation. It's something that happens, that comes up frequently. There's this mental barrier, whether it's because of past experiences or just perception. Weighing and tracking my food, that's overwhelming. That's stress-inducing. That's time-consuming. There's all of these preconceived notions frequently that gets in the way. There's these mental barriers that stop us from utilizing a tool that may be helpful. Now, it may also not be that helpful. It depends on the person. It depends on context. However, labeling something or saying that something is inherently stressful or overwhelming or obsessive, that's when we have to have this conversation, because nothing is inherently good or bad. Like inherently, I'm talking about the act of tracking. It's neutral. The act of stepping on a scale is neutral. The act of taking progress, like anything, monitoring your food, all these things, they're neutral. We assign value based off our belief system and past experiences that develop our belief system. We assign value. So one person can say, well, tracking is the easiest thing in the world. It's not stressful at all. What are you talking about? Another person says, no, it's insanely stressful. It's insanely time consuming. They're both right and they're both wrong because inherently it's neutral. We assign value. And I want to talk about that concept because it's important. When you have a mental resistance, we start labeling things and, oh, this is overwhelming. That is a choice. Make no mistake about it. That is 1000% a choice. And that frustrates people. And I can already sense a little bit of, you know, sphincters tightening, ready to come after me. But I'm going to explain it in detail. And hopefully, when we get into some of the nuance, you'll understand what I'm saying. And if not, that's cool too. But I have a couple things that I wanted to talk about first that I think will also be beneficial. So we've got a lot to cover. First and foremost, it's just some housekeeping. You can win a free supplement every week if you leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Super easy. You open up the podcast app on your phone. You tap the search button. You type in Mind Over Macros. You go to the show, like you tap on the thumbnail, and then you scroll down until you see the ratings and reviews, and there'll be a little write a review button, and then you submit. And if you do that, you're eligible to win any product, any single product, from one of our sponsors, Legion Athletics, Cured Nutrition, or of course, Organifi. And that's how it works. And I pick a winner every Wednesday. The Wednesday episode, I announce the winner on the show. And then you can claim whatever product you would like. So that's first and foremost. Second is subscribing and following wherever you listen. Super easy as well. It takes about 10 seconds to do. You just hit a button. Literally, whatever platform you're listening on, there's a subscribe or a follow or some kind of a button that basically just notifies you of new episodes. That's it. That's the only commitment, is just I'm notified. You can even subscribe and then silence the notifications. So subscribing is one of the best ways to help us grow and to bring new listeners in. So if you are a good person at heart, and you want to spread the love, That's one of the best ways you can do it. And then, of course, you could just directly send episodes to people that you think would get some value out of the content. All right. So that's all the housekeeping stuff. I wanted to share something that I think is really interesting. Now, I'm also going to preface this with, I'm not doing this to call anybody out here. It might feel like that, but I truly am not. I think that these insights are really important because it can be a little bit of a self-reflective moment. So if you feel called out, just sit with that feeling for a second. Don't react to it. Don't come at me. You can. That's fine. But I ask to first take a second and just chill and just take a moment. Before reacting, just take a moment. I'm not coming at anybody here. This is for self-reflection. So recently, we went through this very long process to be able to accept insurance for nutrition coaching for POP. So if you want to work with us, you have the opportunity to get some of the cost. Now, unfortunately, insurance coverage isn't great for preventative, proactive care, which I think is insanity. But we do have the ability. We've had 4 people in the past week who have had over 60% of the cost covered by insurance, which is amazing. Over 60% of the cost for coaching covered by their insurance providers. Now, everybody has different coverage options. We've had a lot of people apply, and some people came back as no coverage. Some people, it came back as kind of shitty coverage. And then we've had people who came back with pretty decent coverage where they're getting, you know, 50%, 60%, even a little bit more than 60% covered by insurance. So this has been a long process happening in the background for a while. And finally, it's all coming to fruition, and I'm dripping it slowly to not overwhelm myself because we don't have the capacity to just accept, you know, dozens and dozens of people into our coaching program. We're pretty selective. And then also just to for my team as well. So making sure that they're good. So the first thing that I did was I just made a little announcement to my email list. If you're not on my email list, you're missing out. You're like, that's the place where you want to be. You want to listen to the podcast and you want to be on my email list. That's the Cool Kids Club. That's where you want to be. If you go to neurotypetraining.com/email, neurotypetraining.com/email, you can get on my list. And you won't be disappointed. So I just sent an email, and the email was basically, if you were to, you know, would you be interested in coaching if insurance covered some or all of the cost? And I said, please respond with 1, 2, or 3. And number one was, I'd only be interested if 100% of the cost was covered by insurance. Number two was, I'd only be interested if 50% of the cost was covered by insurance. And number three was, I'm interested no matter how much is covered. And I got well over 200 replies. Okay. So well over 200 people replied back with some level of interest. One was the most popular answer, which was 100% coverage. I'm only interested if 100% is covered, which I have my own thoughts about that, but I'll save them for another time. Number two was 50%. Actually, the second most popular answer was number three, which was, I'm interested no matter how much is covered. And then the third most popular answer was, I'm only interested if, you know, 50% is covered. But over 200 people replied. So then I sent a follow-up message that was like, if you answered that you were interested, like, good news, we actually can accept insurance to offset the cost of coaching. And here's the process. I laid out the exact process. Step one, you have to fill out an application. Application takes about 5 to 10 minutes. Step two, I'm going to send you a video walkthrough with exactly how our coaching process works, step by step in detail, so you know ahead of time what you're getting yourself into. Step three, you have to respond to the message with that video. So I was texting and emailing that video to everybody. And step three was you have to respond through text or email to tell me that you're still interested. And step four was you fill out a benefit check, which takes about 30 seconds up to 2 minutes. It's literally name, date of birth, and insurance provider. That's it. Name, date of birth, insurance provider. Pretty clear. So of the 200 and some people that said they were interested, how many applications do you think were submitted? You would imagine over 100. If 200 people say, yes, I am interested in this, and then I say, here you go, here are the steps. Now, what happened? So far, after a week, there have been a little over 40 applications. A little over 40. Now, here's the best part. That's not even me calling anybody out. Like, you know, if you said you were interested and then you changed your mind, that's totally cool. But here's the best part. This one's my favorite. In the application, the very last question reminds them that says, as a reminder, over the next 24 to 48 hours, you will receive a video walkthrough of our coaching program to which you will be required to respond as the next step. Because I don't want to waste your time or mine, are you 100%, it literally says this, are you 100% going to respond to that video? And every single applicant said yes. And how many do you think actually responded? Like 10 out of 40? Think about that. You 100% are going to respond to the video. And we're hitting about 25%. Now, I don't need to spell it out. This is a microcosm of why most people struggle. And the select few that are successful are the ones that actually follow through on the shit that they say they're gonna do. It's that basic. Now, if you are one of those people who doesn't follow through, who doesn't respond even after you said 100%, I'm going to respond, and you have all of these reasons why, oh, well, I got busy, work got crazy, I have all, exactly. That's the point, is it's you immediately prioritize everything else. No matter how much you say, I want this, I need this, I'm interested, I 100% will do this thing. But everything else then comes first. That's the point. That's why you're struggling. This should be self-reflection time. You can't even send a text or hit reply to an email. I'm sorry. But there's a method to the madness. I don't do this because it's random. I do this to filter out people that will fail. I literally do this and I lay it out step by step and I make a clear statement of, I need you to show me that you can follow through on the most basic task. And if you can't follow through on a fucking text, you damn sure can't follow through on your nutrition plan. You damn sure can't follow through on some basic habit change, on some small behavior changes that we're going to work on. It's not a mystery. Stop looking for all of these external reasons as to why you are struggling and just look at that. It tells you everything you need to know. I get it. People are busy. I get it. You have work and a family and all the things. That's the point. Your health does not take a backseat to any of that stuff. The people that are successful know that it's a priority. Don't tell me that you don't have 30 seconds to send a message. Don't tell me that you don't have 15 minutes to watch a video. It's a lie. It's bullshit. And you're only hurting yourself by believing your own bullshit. Just look in the mirror, do a little self-reflection. But the beautiful thing about that is the mystery is solved for you, because so many people want to ask, why am I struggling? Why am I frustrated? Why am I not where you want to be? Look no further. So the cool thing is that I did this process on purpose because I knew that we weren't going to be inundated. It was very manageable, 40 some applications, and then only like 10 people respond. And we've got 4 or 5 people who immediately were able to take advantage and join. And we've got like 5 spots left. So the people that actually stayed true to their commitments, to their word, that's that when they say they're going to do something, they actually prioritize it and follow through. And they're the ones who have 60% plus coverage now and are getting about to jump in new clients and get the help that they need. And then everybody else will be like, oh, they're so lucky, right? I wish I could have results like that. I mean, you can, you just have to do the things that you say you're going to do. I mean, it's such a microcosm. It really is. And that's why I share. I don't share it because I want anybody to feel bad. I don't share it for any other reason than I already knew this was going to happen. And it filters out people like you. You can't follow through on the most basic thing that you said. This isn't even me saying you should do this. This is you saying that you're going to do it and then not doing it, right? Like, I'm not even saying, oh, you should eat healthy and you should go for walks and you should lift weights. I'm not shoulding. This is you saying it. I am going to 100% do this and then not doing it. The most basic task that you said you were going to do and not doing it. Look no further. Mystery solved. Anyway. Now, you don't have to share excuses. You don't have to share about how busy things were. That's the point. Things get busy. Life gets in the way. Work gets crazy. Family life, personal life. It doesn't fucking matter. Your health is always going to take a back seat if you treat it that way. And that's why you're always going to struggle if you treat it that way. So things don't change until you change them. And it starts with following through on some basic shit. So a little self-reflection. Don't get mad at me. Don't shoot the messenger. I just report and help the people that are ready to be helped. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was another personal story here that kind of highlighted something on the nutrition side that I see way too frequently that I used to be I used to do this all the time and it would backfire all the time. So on Thursday night, I was in the fortunate position of getting some one-on-one time with my younger stepdaughter. So Mel has 3 kids. They are 16. She's about to be 17 very soon. 16, 15. Is he 15 already? Jeez. And 11. And so we get them a week on, a week off. So they spend a week with their dad and then they spend a week with us and we do a week on, a week off. So this past week, they were with their dad and Mel's son had a banquet at school. He wrestled this year and they had like a wrestling banquet. So Mel and her ex-husband took Mel's son to the wrestling banquet. And then her older daughter works. So she was at work. And so the younger, my younger stepdaughter got to hang out with me for the night. And it's cool. We don't get a lot of one-on-one time together just based off of like the schedule and everything. And the fact that there's three of them. So I was looking forward to it because she's getting ready to start her softball season. And, you know, I'm relatively athletic. That's kind of like my wheelhouse area where I can shine. And so, yeah, my basic contributions are sports, being the one who always wants to get ice cream, and then you know, I'm the one when they want, like, they know that I'm not going to say no, basically, is my contribution. So I knew that she would want some takeout for dinner. And so I had this whole plan, like we were going to play softball together. We were going to order takeout, and then we were going to watch the Phillies, and then her older sister would pick her up on her way home from work. So as my day was going, like, you know, it was a work day, Thursday, I was had a busy ass day, and I was just behind on calories. And then I had this idea, and I'm like, you know what? It's not a bad thing that I'm behind on calories. I'm in my reverse diet. I'm trying to hit like 25 plus 100 calories. So like between 25, 2600 calories at this point. And then that allows me some flexibility on the weekend as well. But I had like a little over 1,000 calories left for the day. And I was just so backed up with, you know, work was crazy that day. So like by the time I came up for air, I was like, oh my God, I have to like eat. And then I realized, oh, you know, I'm going to end up getting takeout. Why don't I just save my calories? And then I can, you know, enjoy myself and get a little more indulgent, whatever. And so sure enough, she comes over and first thing, like, what do you want to do for dinner? And she's like, can we do takeout? I'm like, I had a feeling. So she's like, I really want pizza. I'm like, okay, cool. So she orders, we do DoorDash. She wants a slice of pizza and some garlic knots. And I'm like, are you sure you just want one slice? She's like, yeah, well, I have the garlic knots, so I'll be fine. I'm like, all right, I'm going to order a second slice. And if you don't want it, no worries, I'll eat it. But just to make sure, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in the food pusher environment. Like my family definitely are a bunch of food pushers. So I kind of have that, like, there has to be enough food. Everybody has to eat and eat as much as they possibly can. So I get the second slice, and then I also ordered myself just like a salad with grilled chicken. So I'm like, whatever, like I got 1,000 calories to play with. I'll eat the salad. And then I'll have the second slice of pizza likely because she's not going to want it. And everything goes according to plan. Okay. So we put in the order, we go outside, play softball for a while. Food comes, we get everything set up. We go inside, we sit in front of the TV to watch the Phillies while we're eating dinner. Everything goes beautifully according to plan. We're having a great time. The Phillies win that game, and she's loving it. We're chatting it up. And then her older sister comes, stops in, says hi, and then takes her back to her dad's house. And then I'm like, shit, I'm really hungry. And that's when the wheels came flying off. So first I was like, all right, I need to just like eat something, get some more protein in. That's probably what it was. I'm probably just low on protein. And then I was just, next thing I know, I'm raiding the cabinet. It's the chips, it's the cookies, it's like everything is just happening very quickly. And finally I'm like, I'm full, like I can stop, but I definitely way over consumed. It probably wasn't horrible. Like maybe I went 500 calories over. Wasn't horrible. But it reminded me of how I used to hoard calories all the time, and it always backfired. And this is a common thing that gets thrown out there in the fitness industry. This idea of skipping breakfast and, oh, you have a dinner tonight, just save up all your calories for the dinner and then you can eat whatever you want. I don't know about you, but for me, that has never worked. It has always made things worse. I've tried it. I've done fasting protocols where I didn't eat until 2 p.m. I've done different things where I've, you know, again, like when I was deep in my dieting days, it was hoard calories, and then, you know, try to eat as little as possible. Even when I would go to an event or a date night or a vacation, try to make good choices, I would just end up way overdoing it. And like on Thursday night, I was just snacking. Like I don't say that I binged because I'm very calculated with that word. I used to actually binge. Like I used to truly binge where it was just an uncontrollable, ungodly amount of food at once. That was not even like there was no real hunger involved. There was like a little bit of hunger involved. I shouldn't say no hunger involved, but like I was deprived of energy clearly, but it was just to the point of discomfort. And I'm talking like 8 slices of pizza and an entire order of wings and fries and dessert, and then just keep going. And what else is in the cabinet? And just like no off switch. So Thursday was just snacking mindlessly because I was hungry. What I used to do was like straight up binge. And I didn't realize that physically, my body was really just craving energy because I was hoarding calories, saving, quote unquote, saving calories, and it would backfire. And I didn't realize that mentally I was creating this prison of food restriction and rules and what I can and can't do. And then my mind, like once I would give in, my mind would just like break free from this prison and just try to get everything in all at once. So there was a huge psychological component to it. But there's also the physiological when you're just energy deprived. But the bottom line is, it doesn't work. It's kind of disordered. I mean, it was definitely disordered back then for me. But I think even now where people are like trying to promote health and tell you, oh, you just fast all day. Like I saw a video that was circulating. This guy was just talking about like, don't eat until dinner. And it's like the healthiest thing you can do. Like that's disordered. I'm sorry, but it will backfire, at least for people like myself. Like number one, it's not healthier. It's not at all healthier. We have plenty of research to tease that out. It is not at all healthier, but it's just so unnecessary and it backfires for most people. There's a lot of research on fasting. People who hoard calories, like they skip breakfast. They don't eat very much in the morning. It's been shown that they overconsume later in the day. They eat more calories on average. It backfires. We have research to say that it backfires, and we have anecdotal evidence to say that it backfires. So one of the best things that you can do is actually front load. And I know that sounds crazy because everybody's all about the backloading and save up, but you can actually reverse that and go higher protein and a bigger meal early on. That keeps hunger and cravings down. I found that when I eat normally and I just treat like tonight, I'm recording this on Saturday. I'm not tracking today really. I'm kind of monitoring, but I know that if I just treat today like a normal day, even though Saturday is like, I'm going to eat whatever I want, I know that I will be more dialed in terms of just control and choices will be more framed in because I'm not hoarding calories, because I'm not saving up calories. So if you've ever experienced that, just look at what you're doing that sets up the binge or the indulgence or the snacking. It can usually be traced back to the mental and physiological impact of trying to save or fast or hoard. So just something to be mindful of. I'm going to take a brief pause in this episode because it's Organifi time. Not exactly right now, but it's Organifi time for you. My Organifi time was this morning when I took my green juice. I say took it. It sounds like medication, although it is kind of like medicinal. all the wonderful adaptogens and micronutrients and things that support a healthy body. But my green juice, crisp apple, my morning drink, I don't take it, I drink it. And then my gold chocolate is my evening drink. That'll happen in a little while later tonight. But every day, Organifi is part of the routine. Shilajit gummies, I literally can't keep them in the, I go through them and we go through them since Mel takes them and my stepson uses them. We cannot keep them in stock. I am constantly going through like, how many more bags of Shilajit do we need? Such a powerhouse adaptogen, especially if you use them as a pre-workout. By the way, I take them every day, but great pre-workout, natural adaptogen that gives you a little bit of energy and focus. However, you can take them anytime. It's not like if you take them before bed, it's going to keep you up or anything, because it is an adaptogen. It adapts to what you need. It's actually a beautiful thing. You can just do a little research. If you go onto like examine.com or something like that, and you look at Shilajit, you'll see some wonderful research on there. If you're that type of person who likes to know all the data and all the studies and all that stuff. So go check it out. But yeah, the green juice, the gold juice, the immunity, the collagen, the Shilajit gummies, and you get 20% off all of their products. So there's no excuse, only benefit, because when you start your day with something positive and you end your day with something positive, and you mix a little positive habits in between, that sounds like a positive day to me. And that's why I trust Organifi, because it's the best quality ingredients that serve a purpose. Better health, better habits, better sleep, less stress, better performance, better recovery. They've got you covered. Go to Organifi.com/popfam. That's Organifi.com/popfam. And use the code POPFAM at checkout for 20% off all of their products. Go get yourself some green juice. Thank me later. Grab some gold juice. Thank me later. Grab some Shilajit gummies. Multiple thank yous later. And if you need some collagen or immunity or anything like that, they've got you covered. Organifi.com/POPFAM. And now let's get back to the episode. All right. Now, finally, we can get to the main point here, which is tracking and why we frame it oftentimes without even, like this situation that I'm referring to is actually pretty unique, because I had a coach reach out to me and she said that she has a client who is saying all these things about tracking. She's saying it's stressful, it's overwhelming, it's tedious, it's time consuming, it's triggering, all these things. But here's the kicker. She hasn't actually done it. And that's what really sparked this topic, is a lot of the times we say these things that it's purely a belief. It's purely a belief that is not at all rooted in any sort of fact or truth. And we have such an amazing superpower as humans to challenge those thoughts and beliefs, and to not just immediately attach to them, especially when you can see, like, clear as day, something that I haven't even done. How can I label it? How can I label it? Like, imagine yourself jumping out of a plane. Now, some of you might be like, hell no. Some of you might be like, hell yes. Now, I'm talking about you've never done it before. You can make an assumption. You can say, no way, that would be way too scary. And you can make whatever decision you want. But the bottom line is, you can't really say for sure what it is or it isn't when you haven't done it. Right? We're speculating. But a lot of the speculation is based off of a belief system. The thing that we fail to do so frequently is to question the belief. And that's where all the power lives. The power lives in saying, I'm having a thought, a feeling, an emotion. Is it true? Is it serving me? Is it based in reality? So this particular individual has zero experience, has never done it, but yet is boxing in a neutral act. The act of putting food on a scale and logging it into an app is neutral. The act of putting your body on a scale and looking at the number that it shows you is neutral. We assign meaning. And what happens is the first filter is our beliefs. So the experience that we're visualizing goes through our belief filter first. And then you might feel a feeling. And that's where you say, oh, this is stressful. You might feel anxious. You might feel something. And then out come the words. Oh, this is overwhelming. But you didn't actually take a minute to sit with it or explore it or challenge it or question it or think of a different perspective or reframe. I mean, this is like cognitive behavioral therapy, right? Is the thought real? Is it serving me? Do I want to rewrite that narrative in a more productive way? And the sad thing is that it can prevent you from doing things that are really valuable or really beneficial because we're holding on to a belief system that's not serving us. We never take the time. Most of the time, we just go through the motions and we say, oh, I had a thought, it must be true. Or I had a feeling, it must be acted on like immediately. Instead of, is this actually serving me? Is this real? Is this rooted in truth? And the other thing about that is, the past experience. So some people might say, well, I did it in the past. This is one of the most common things that we deal with at POP. Oh, I tried tracking before. It didn't work for me. It was really stressful for me. It was really overwhelming for me. It was really time consuming. And then the funny thing is, like, once we work with reshift the belief system, and just work through the process of challenging pre-existing beliefs. We work through the process of mental reframes and perspective shifts and challenging thoughts and beliefs. All of a sudden, the client is usually on their own, like, I want to try tracking again. And then they're like, this isn't stressful at all. This isn't difficult at all. This isn't overwhelming at all. All of a sudden, it's the same person and the same tool, totally different experience simply from some of the mental models that we work through on reframing, challenging beliefs, challenging thoughts, rewriting the narrative from a perspective that's more productive. And it's really simple. You just have to catch yourself doing it. That's the challenging part. The awareness part is the hardest part. The act of reframing is actually pretty straightforward, but you got to identify it first. And that's where having a coach, like I said to her, your job is to ask the right questions. Your job isn't to say, no, it's not. Like, she's like, tracking is really stressful. It's not your job to say, no, it's not. It's your job to ask questions so that she can come to her own conclusion. So the first thing is, why do you believe that? Why do you believe that it's stressful? Well, it just seems like, right? It just seems like having to figure out how much I'm eating and putting my food on a scale and then putting it in an app, it just seems like it's really overwhelming. Gotcha. And like, what about those specific tasks feel overwhelming, right? We just have to keep pulling back layers and letting them sit with the thought of like, is this real? Because you can make any, like I could sit there and say, take something that this person does on autopilot, right? You go to work every day. Sure. Okay. Is that overwhelming? Well, you know, some days I don't want to go, but no, it's just what I have to do. But if you think about it, you have to set your alarm every day. You have to not hit snooze. You have to actually get up on time. You have to figure out what you're going to wear. You have to brush your teeth. You have to make sure the kit, like, why is that not overwhelming? Well, it's just what I have to do. Got it. And how is that different? How's that different than everything that you just outlined about putting your food on a scale and then logging in an app, or even just the act of eating, right? Like, well, I have to get out the yogurt, and then I have to open the container, and then I have to put it in a bowl, and then I have to add my, you know, fruit or whatever. You can break everything down into steps and make it sound really cumbersome. Or you can just recognize that this is what I do, right? It's kind of like the whole dieting mindset. You can sit there and say, oh, it's like I'm always dieting. I'm always dieting. Well, yeah, because of the perspective and the way that you're going about it. Or you eat foods that make you look and feel your best, and you eat to support your goals. That's a perfectly valid reframe that alleviates the mental burden. It's just a perspective shift, and it's really simple, but you have to be aware. You have to be aware that you're falling into just going through the motions of, I had a thought, I had a belief, it must be true. Tracking is neutral. Weighing yourself is neutral. We assign meaning. You get to decide the narrative that best serves you. So you can sit there and say, oh, well, I stepped on the scale and it frustrated me and it ruined my day because it didn't say a number that I want. Or you can step on the scale, you can look at the number and you can say, this is what my metabolism is supposed to do. It's cool that my metabolism is working, that I have some up numbers, because that's the sign of a functioning metabolism. Thank you, body, for doing what you're supposed to do. And then you can shift your focus and say, I'm really glad and grateful that I can just focus on the process and the action steps and not worry so much about the outcome. Choice. That's a choice. I can focus on the process and the action steps and not worry so much about the outcome. Perfectly valid mental reframe that takes the stress and frustration away from the scale. When you sit there and you say, no, but I can't. It just always bothers me. Exactly. Based off of the way that you are perceiving it, it always bothers you. Based off of the way that you're boxing yourself in, based off of the way that you're labeling it, you have left no room for a reframe or a perspective shift. Until you open that door, it will always be that way. But once you open the door a little bit and you try it on, you'll kick that motherfucker in. Like, you're not going to go back to the old way. You might slip, but you'll catch yourself quicker. Like, I still slip into old patterns, but I catch myself way quicker. So I even told Mel the other day, because my weight is up a little bit going through this reverse, but it's expected. I got down to 182. I didn't expect to even get that low. I'm hanging out right now around 184, 185. That's expected. I got down to give myself a little buffer, but even seeing the number creep up a little bit still got into my head. And I just said it out loud to Mel. And I was like, I'm just saying this to get it out of my head, because I know that the old thoughts are creeping back in. So I just need to get them out and then continue to do what I know I can control. It's a reframe. In the past, I would have just believed it. Oh my God, the scale, it's fucking with me. I need to do something about it. I need to overcompensate. I need to act on it. Now I just sit with it. I'm like, oh, cool. There are those old thoughts again. I'm going to say them out loud to get rid of them. And I'm going to align with the way that I want to proceed. So the perspective shift is pretty simple. You just have to be aware of it. But the act of tracking, it's not at all stressful unless you label it as stressful. It's not at all time consuming unless you label it as time consuming. The reality is, it doesn't take any more time to put your food on a scale and then plate it versus just plate. Like, what are we talking? 3 seconds? 30 at most? There's no more or less stress putting it on a scale and then plating it versus just plating it. That is not inherently stressful. It just is. It's neutral. It's a neutral act. Now, keep in mind one of my favorite studies, the rat study with the exercise wheel. The one rat could run on the wheel whenever he wanted. The other rat, his wheel was attached to the first rat's wheel, so he had to run when the first rat was running. Didn't have any choice. Had no choice, no autonomy. The rat that could run whenever he wanted had all of the health benefits from exercise. The rat that was forced to run, that had no autonomy, had all of the stress markers. Same activity, same duration, same everything. One was healthy, one was unhealthy. What was the difference? Perspective, force, choice, freedom, autonomy. I am choosing to make these choices. I am choosing to track my food. I am choosing to eat this way. I am choosing to align with my goals. When you have autonomy and you're not forcing, oh, I have to eliminate sugar. I have to, you know, avoid carbs. Yeah, you're going to have all the stress markers. I have to run every day. Our brains are very powerful. That's where all the results live, by the way, if you haven't figured that out yet. It all resides in between your ears. It always has. It always will. It's all about the perspective shift. Of course, we have the protein shake study, the labeled shake. This is where labels come into play. You're labeling tracking as obsessive. You're labeling tracking as stressful. The protein shake label that said indulgent, decadent, high calorie protein shake increased satiety, reduced hunger. We could actually see physiological differences just from a mindset shift. The protein shake that was labeled lean, low calorie, hunger levels were the same. Fullness levels were the same. Same calories, different label. One group perceived the shake as high calorie and they were fuller, less hunger. The other group perceived the shake as low calorie. They were hungrier and less full. Same exact contents in the shake, same exact calories and macros and everything. It was the exact same shake. The only difference was the label. Your mind is a powerful thing. The problem is when you label and you box yourself in and you assign that meaning, you're creating a reality that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So yeah, tracking will be stressful and overwhelming if you don't give it any other option. Weighing yourself will be emotionally difficult or frustrating or whatever you want to label it. If you don't give yourself another option, there's choice. There's always a choice. You get to choose the narrative that best supports what you're trying to accomplish. Hopefully that makes sense. You always have options. You can align your actions with your words. You can align your words with your actions. The dissonance is where problems occur. Like, I am 100% going to respond, and then you don't do it. That dissonance is what creates struggle. The dissonance creates struggle. So let's get in alignment. Let's choose the narrative that best supports what we want to accomplish. Mental reframes are a powerful thing. Therapists have been using that since therapy has been in existence. It works really freaking well. So try it out. And if you don't know how to try it out, get yourself a coach. And if you say you can't afford a coach, or you don't have the time for a coach, or you don't blah, 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 then once again, you're creating your own reality. So you can continue to choose that reality, and then you'll know exactly why you're struggling, or you can create a new reality and actually be successful. Either way, it's an option. And either way, I still love you. And either way, I hope this was helpful, and I will talk to you next time.